Okay, we're recording. We can post the Myrmecomus. Okay, good evening, everybody. This year was sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Ezra Wolgalanter, Lezecha Nishmas Ezra's father, Rav Shmuel Kapel, ben Rav Shalom Pinchas, Zecha Tzadik Levracha. The neshama should have an aliyah. Yasher Koyach for the sponsorship. Okay, so we're gonna do a topic. We're gonna try to do a few weeks of topics on the Daf Yomis. Like I said last week, you don't need to be learning the Daf Yomi. We'll explain things as we go. We'll learn the sources together, but it might be interesting just as a supplement to those that are following the Daf Yomi and also getting ready for Purim, which is not too far off in a few months. So we all know that there's an obligation to read the Megillah. The Pasuk tells us so in the Megillah itself, and that's how it's brought in the Halacha. So the Mishnah tells us, the first Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, that there's actually a range of times when you're allowed to read the Megillah. The very first Mishnah, Megillah Nikras B'Yud Aleph, we're speaking about Chodesh Adar. The Megillah is read on the 11th of Adar, B'Yud Beis on the 12th of Adar, on the 13th of Adar, on the 14th of Adar, and on the 15th of Adar. Lo pachas v'lo yoser, never earlier and never later. So we know that Yud Dalet and Tesvav are the 2 days of Purim. Yud Dalet is the day of Purim for most people. Tesvav, the 15th of Adar, would be the day of Purim for those who are living in cities that were walled, that were krachim, that were walled cities. As long as the wall was extant in the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Nun, even if there's no longer a wall around the city today, but if we can determine that that city had a wall around it during the times of Yeshua ben Nun, so that city observes Purim on the 15th. That we know. I noticed, by the way, that there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashi. If a walled city that observes Purim on the 15th, does that apply exclusively to cities in Eretz Yisrael? That's what Rashi seems to say. And I was learning the Rambam recently. The Rambam says clearly that any walled city, if you would be able to discover or determine that a city in Europe somewhere had a wall, dating all the way back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, that city would observe Purim on the 15th, even though it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. In any case, we know that Purim is observed either on the 14th or the 15th. The Gemara tells us that because of an extra word or extra letters, bizmanehem, in their times, we also include the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So there's actually a range of times that you can fulfill the Kriyas Megillah. So the Mishnah goes on to explain who's allowed to avail themselves of these extra days, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. So the Mishnah tells us, Krochen hamukafen chayma, any walled city, miyamos Yeshua ben Nun, from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, even if the wall no longer exists, koyrim b'tezvav, they would read on the 15th. That's Purim for them in a walled city. Kvarim, if you have a village, or ayores gedolos, or big cities. And the way you define a big city, the Gemara tells us, is if it has asara batlonim, if it has essentially a kollel, that people that are sponsored by the community to be there in the Beis Medrash, to be available at all times, and to ensure a minyan. That is the criteria for a big city. A village is a city that does not have that. They don't have a guarantee. They don't have 10 people that are available all the time for a minyan. That's a village. Okay, so the halacha is that the villages and the bigger cities, Kerem B'Yudalet, they read on the 14th. So where does the 11th, 12th, and 13th come in? That the kfarim, the villages, Makdimah Maknisa, they're allowed to read the Megillah a few days early. They're allowed to read the Megillah on what the previous Monday or Thursday that comes before Purim. So, for example, if Purim falls out on a Monday, so it's irrelevant. If Purim falls out on a Tuesday, they were given permission to read the Megillah the previous Monday. If it falls out on a Wednesday, they can read on Monday. If it falls out on Thursday, they have to read Thursday. Friday, they can read Thursday. If it falls out on Sunday, they can back up again and read on Thursday. So the Mishnah tells us, and that's how the days would play out. So if it falls out, if the 14th, for example, falls out on a Tuesday, that would be an example of the Kfarim reading on the 13th. If it falls out on a Wednesday, that would be an example of them reading on the 12th. And if Purim would fall out on a Sunday, which sometimes does, then they would be allowed to be mocked into the previous Thursday, and that would bring them all the way back to the 11th. Now, what's the basis to be lenient on the villagers that they're allowed to read the Megillah early? What's the basis for that? What's the rationale behind that? So the Gemara tells us on Dav Dalet, it comes up a few places in the Masechta, Omer Rab Chanina, the Chachamim Hekilu al Akfarim, the reason why the Chachamim were lenient on the villagers, Liyos Magdim and Liyom HaKnisa, to be able to read the Megillah early on the Yom HaKnisa. Now we're going to define that word Yom HaKnisa in a moment. Because the people living in the villages, they supply the people living in the city with supplies. I guess the villagers, they have gardens and they have vegetable gardens and they have trees there living in the village. It's not as built up. So they're the ones who are able, they have cows, they have animals. They're the ones who are able to supply the supply. They stock the grocery stores in the cities. So because we have Hakara Satov to them, so we create a certain leniency, we give them more days. So we have a drusha in the Megillah that you can sometimes read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. The drusha doesn't in any way say who's allowed to avail themselves of these potential days, but the Chachamim granted these days to the Kfarim. They gave them this special dispensation because we have Hakara Satov to them, because we appreciate what they do. They supply the cities with the groceries, with the supplies, and because of that, we gave them the opportunity to read the Megillah early. Now, what does one thing have to do with the other? Why is reading the Megillah early considered a convenience for them? So what difference does it make? You have to read the Megillah anyway. What difference does it make if you read the Megillah on the 11th or you read the Megillah on the 14th? So this is a big machoikes Rashi and other Mefarshim. What is the historical context? How is this a convenience? How is this a leniency for the Kfarim? And the way you interpret the events will yield a tremendous chiddush in halacha. So let's see the Rashi. So I quoted the Rashi here in item Gimel. Rashi says right away on the Mishnah, Ela shakfarim nosnu lehen chachamim rishus lahaktin kriyasa liyoyim haknisa. The Kfarim were given permission to read the Megillah early, Yom Sheni b'Shabbes Shulchan Yudalei, whether it's the Monday before the 14th or whether it's the Thursday during the week before the 14th. Now this is the Yom HaKnisa. What's the translation of the Yom HaKnisa, the day of gathering? It's the day that the Kfarim gather and enter the bigger cities for Mishpat, because we know that the Batei Dinim, they sit in the cities, the Batei Dinim convene on Mondays and Thursdays in the big cities. This was actually one of the takanas of Ezra, that there should be an appointed time, instead of it being haphazard or random, there would be an appointed time that Beis Din would officially convene on the Mondays and the Thursdays. And that way everybody knows when the Beis Din's open, everyone knows when they can avail themselves of the Beis Din. So the Kfarim, the people living in the villages, they anyway have to go to the cities on a Monday and a Thursday in order to have a din, in order to settle their disputes. So since anyway they're traveling in on a Monday and a Thursday, they're allowed to have the Megillah read for them on the Monday or the Thursday. Because if not, they would have to come in Monday or Thursday for their dinim, for their batei dinim, to avail themselves of the Beis Din. And then they have to make an extra trip to come into the city to hear the Megillah. Now Rashi tells us that the people living in the villages are not bekiyim in the Kriyas Megillah. They did not know how. They were uneducated and they did not necessarily know how to read the Megillah on their own. So they would really have to come into the cities in order to hear the Kriyas Megillah from someone who is from the city. If you make them come in on Purim Day, they're going to have to make the extra trip. So therefore, we gave them the special leniency to avail themselves of these other opportunities, whether it's the 11th, 12th, or 13th, and that would cover the Monday and the Thursday before Purim. So in short, why are we allowing them to hear the Megillah on the previous Monday or Thursday before Purim? So the answer is because they don't know how to read the Megillah themselves. They can't just do it at home in the village. They don't know how. They're going to have to come into the city to hear the Megillah from the villager, from the city dweller. They have to anyway come in on Monday and Thursday for the Batei Dinim, for the Bezdin. So therefore we give them, they can kill two birds with one stone. You're making the trip anyway into the city, so you can hear the Megillah from the city dweller on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, because you anyway have to go into the city. Why are we lenient on them? Why are we giving them this convenience? Because we have a Karas HaToyev. We appreciate the fact that they supply us with the supplies. So we make it convenient for them that you can read the Megillah on the day closest to Purim that you would be coming into the city anyway. You don't have to make a special trip. That's Rashi. What does Yom HaKnisa mean according to Rashi? Yom HaKnisa means the day that they go into the bigger cities, which is, happens to be on a Monday and Thursday, because that's when they go in to avail themselves of the Beis Din. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, says something completely different. The Rambam says that the Bnei HaKfarim, what does Yom HaKnisa mean? The Bnei HaKfarim, they only manage to get together a minyan in the Bati Knesios, nothing to do with entering the cities. They only manage to get to collect the minyan, to gather together to make a minyan on Mondays and Thursdays. I saw some of Farshim say, why did they pick Mondays and Thursdays of all days? Because Mondays and Thursdays also has a Torah reading. So they made the extra effort. They extended themselves to be able to get a minyan together Mondays and Thursdays in order to hear the Torah reading. So the Chachamim made a takana that instead of requiring you to get a minyan together again a third day of the week for Purim, you're anyway getting a minyan on Mondays and Thursdays, so you can read the Megillah on the Mondays and Thursdays before Purim, and that's the Yom HaKnisa. The Yom HaKnisa has nothing to do with going into the city. The Yom HaKnisa is the day that they would enter the Beis HaKnesses. That was the day that people would make the effort to collect the minyan, to gather a minyan, to be able to hear the Torah reading. So you can also read the Megillah together with the minyan, which is more mahudr, it's more advantageous. You could read the Megillah together with the minyan on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. Again, why didn't the Chachamim require them to gather together special for Purim? So that's the same, because we have Hakara Satov, we appreciate the fact that they supply us with the supplies. So we granted these extra opportunities to the villagers because it's hard for them to get a minyan. So we have a Mechilas Rashi and the Rambam, what the background is between by the Kfarim. Is it because that's when they enter the city and they don't know how to read the Megillah themselves, so people from the city will read it for them? Or is it like the Rambam, nothing to do with the city, but that's when they gather together to have a minyan during the weekdays, Mondays and Thursdays, so we allow them to read the Megillah on the Mondays and Thursdays that precede the Purim. Now, there's a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, and this is a halacha that we're all familiar with, that the Pasuk says, Loi Segoididu. The Pasuk says, Loi Segoididu, which is actually speaking about something completely different. It's speaking about that Loi Aleinu, a person loses a relative, so we're not supposed to injure ourselves or mutilate ourselves as a form of mourning, because that would be like a pagan custom and that would be mourning too much. That's one thing. But then a completely unrelated halacha, loisiskoididu, that we learn from loisiskoididu, that you should not create agudois, agudois. You're not supposed to create groups. You should not have different people observing different minhagim in the same setting. Lois is going to do. Don't create different groups of observing the halachas differently in different places. And the Gemara in Yevamos discusses the parameters of this. Does that mean that we have to have a universal minig for everything? That everybody We force everybody to keep the same minute. Some people wear tefillin and chol hamoed, some people don't. Some people daven nusach Ashkenaz, some people daven nusach Sfar. Some people shake the lulav this way, some people shake the lulav that way. There are many different minhagim. The Gemara tells us that we should not have two groups of Jews observing, performing the halachas differently or observing different minhagim in the same setting. So the Gemara there discusses what the parameters are. At the end of the day, in item hey, at the end of the day, the Gemara tells us that if you have two batei dinim, if you have two bezdins, two schools of thought, let's say, even in the same city, they're allowed to observe different halachas. So for example, at the end of the day, you're allowed to have an Ashkenazic shul in one shul, you're allowed to have a Sephardic minyan in the other shul, all in the same city, even though it's all happening in the same city, but it's organized. It's organized, there's one school of thought over here, there's one school of thought over there. It's organized, it's not mingled, you don't have people doing different things in the same congregation, it's organized. Now, just on the side, this is why some people, they try to make two minyanim. I know some shuls try, if they're able to. On Chol HaMoed, for example, half of the congregation wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed, half of the congregation does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So, lechatchila, the Mishnah Berurah says, if possible, you should make two different minyanim in order to conform with this halacha of not having different minhagim being observed in the same setting. Sometimes you can't afford to have two minyanim, so instead we have either the people with the tefillin or the people without the tefillin behind the mechitza to make some kind of separation. Other congregations are not particular about this at all. The justification for that is because the fact that some people are not wearing tefillin does not necessarily mean that they're observing, that they're subscribing to a different minhag, because there could be numerous reasons why a person's not wearing tefillin. Perhaps he doesn't have tefillin, or perhaps he's going to borrow somebody's tefillin after the davening. Perhaps the person has a stomach ache and he's not fit to be wearing tefillin that day. So the fact that people are not wearing tefillin, it's not nicker, it's not recognizable that they're observing, subscribing to different minhagim. It might simply be the circumstances that they're not wearing tefillin that day. So there is room for leniency. But this is an example, this is a practical example of loisis goididu, not trying to organize it, that people are not observing different minhagim in the same setting. But it's interesting enough, before that, the Gemara says, before the Gemara comes to that conclusion, the Gemara says that you might have to have two minhagim organized, two batei dinim in two different cities, the Gemara says. So before the Gemara concludes the way we practice it today, that you're allowed to have organized groups in the same city, at one point in the sugya, the Gemara entertained that you can't even have two groups in the same city observing different minhagim. That's what the Gemara says there. So Tosfos there asks the obvious question, that how can Abaye hold? Abaye was the one who thought at the time that you're not even allowed to have two batei dinim, two different organizations observing different minhagim under the same city. So Tosfos asks, how could Abaye even entertain that? So says Tosfos here in item Vav, Tosfos in Yevamis daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, says Tosfos, ki amrinan loitzes goydidu ki going shtei batei dinim bi'arachas. So at one point in the sugya, the Gemara held that even two bezdins, two batei dinim in the same city have to conform, have to subscribe to the same minhag. You can't have two different groups. Im Toimar, Tosfos asks an interesting question. Matiritz v'Megillah, how are you going to explain the Mishnah in Megillah? The Bi'ir Achas ha'yukoren lebneho ir biyudalet, ul b'nei kforem ha'yumakdim ha'meimaknisa. What's going on? What did Rashi say? Rashi said that the people in the village are going to the city and they're having the Megillah read for them on the Yud Aleph, on the 11th, on the Thursday before Purim, when Purim falls out on Sunday. What's going to happen on Sunday? Then the people from the city themselves are going to observe Purim for themselves and hear the Megillah for themselves on Sunday. So Tosfos asks that the Mishnah itself allows that you can have one group of people hearing the Megillah on the Sunday, and you can have one group of people hearing the Megillah on the previous Thursday, or you can have Purim falling out on a Tuesday, half the city is hearing the Megillah on the Tuesday, half the city, all the villagers coming in are hearing the Megillah on the previous Monday, on the 13th. So Tosfos asks, how can Abaye entertain that you're not allowed to have two groups in the same city observing different minhagim? The Mishnah itself says that within the same city, you're allowed to have the city dwellers hearing it on the 14th, and the villagers who are arriving in the city, they're hearing the Megillah on the 13th, the 12th, or the 11th. So says Tosfos, Omar Harav Rabbi Chaim HaKoyin. So Tosfos actually argues on Rashi because of this, that the B'nai Kfarim, the villagers, would actually be reading the Megillah in their own city. Nothing to do like Rashi. They're not coming to the big city to hear the Megillah. They're reading the Megillah in their own city. And Tosfos, he cites a Yerushalmi that says that way. So Tosfos says, Hash to have a shtei batidin and bebeis ayaris. So now the Mishnah fits even according to Abaye's understanding, because b'chi ha'gavno l'shayach loisis goyidu, even according to Afilu Labaya, that according to Abaye, even according to the strict interpretation, that you're not allowed to have two schools of thought in the same city. The Mishnah even conforms with Abaye, because the villagers are reading on the 11th in the village, in their own village, and the city dwellers are hearing the Megillah on the 14th in the city. So it's two different minhagim in two different cities. That's what Tosfos says. Why do we refer to it as the Yom HaKnisa? Why do we call it the Yom HaKnisa? Rashi explained the Yom HaKnisa means that they're entering the city. They're entering the city. And according to Tosfos, Rav Chaim Koyen, they're hearing it in their own village. So it says Tosfos, Lafi should be Irum HaYimis Asfim Lama LaBeis HaKnesses, because it doesn't mean at all that they're entering the city. It means that they're entering the shuls within the village on the Mondays and the Thursdays in order to hear the Torah reading. And Tosfos says, So Tosfos is arguing on Rashi. The first reason that Tosfos argues on Rashi is the reason that Tosfos says clearly, because we don't want to have two communities subscribing to different minhagim in the same city. The second reason that Tosfos brings now with the punchline, Tosfos says that, and anyway, the Yerushalmi says that a ben ir cannot be moitzia ben krach. This is a fascinating halacha. So we know the halacha that even if you heard the Megillah reading already, you're allowed to read the Megillah for someone who did not yet hear the Megillah. Why is that? If you heard the Megillah already, how are you allowed to be moitzia somebody else? So the Gemara says, we know that there's a din of arvus. There's a din that we're all guarantors for one another. In order for you to fulfill your mitzvah, so I'm partly obligated to help you fulfill your obligation, and you're partly obligated to help me fulfill my obligation. If I don't know how to read the Megillah, you can read the Megillah for me, not only when you're simultaneously being Yotze, but you can even read the Megillah for me, even if you already were Yotze. We know this. Even if you heard Kiddush, you can make Kiddush for your wife at home. Even if you made Kiddush, you can be Moitzi Kiddush for your neighbor. Even if you blew Shofar already, you can blow Shofar again. This is the concept of Arvus, that as long as you're a Bar Chiyuva, as long as you are someone subject to the obligation, you can be Moitzi somebody else. You don't have to be fulfilling your obligation with that very reading or that Shofar blowing, but you have to be subject to the obligation. So for example, a non-Jew, he can be the best trumpet blower in the world. If he's going to blow the shofar for us, we're not going to be Yotze, because he's not a bar chiyuva. He's not subject to the obligation, and therefore he's not a guarantor for our obligation, because he's not subject himself in that obligation. Or a minor. We spoke about this Chanukah time. A minor who his akatan, his obligation is not as strong as the adult's obligation, so he may not be allowed, he may not have the capability to be moitzi somebody who has a stronger obligation, because his obligation pales in comparison to the adult's obligation. So vis-a-vis the adult's obligation, it's as if he's not obligated. That's the sugya of arvus. You have to be subject to the obligation, but you don't have to be yotzi the mitzvah at that time. So here's the fascinating halacha. Can someone who is observing Purim on the 14th, can he be moitzi someone on the 15th who has to hear the Megillah on the 50th, or vice versa. Somebody who lives in the walled city, where his obligation doesn't kick in until tomorrow, on the 15th. Is he capable, is he authorized to read the Megillah for someone on the 14th, where he's not subject to the obligation? So on the one hand, we're both Jewish, and we both have an obligation sometime or another to read the Megillah. So on the one hand, we have the common denominator that we're both obligated in the Megillah. But on the other hand, we don't share the same obligation, because you, for example, your obligation is on the 15th. My obligation is on the 14th. So the Yushalmi actually says that a ben ir, that someone who lives in an unwalled city where his obligation is on the 14th, he cannot be moitzi someone in the Megillah on the 15th, because his obligation's over. He's no longer obligated today, even though he's a Jew and he's subject to the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. But he's not obligated in today's obligation. And therefore, that's a good question. And there, I'll get to you one second, Leo. And therefore, since he's not subject to the 15th obligation, he cannot be moitzi somebody on the 15th. So the question was posed, how do we determine who's obligated in the 14th and who's obligated in the 15th? So the Mishnah tells us, it's a complicated halacha, the Mishnah tells us it depends where you are. Usually, the halacha depends on what your intent is. Do you intend on being where you live when you go to Eretz Israel to visit? So do you intend to move to Eretz Israel, or is it daitoy lachzer? Do you still plan on returning back home to the States? So normally your minhag depends on where you plan on living permanently. But there's a special drasha in the Megillah that it depends on where you are for that day. So imagine if someone on the 14th was in the unwalled city, he read the Megillah, he fulfilled his obligation. And now he's visiting the 15th, but he already fulfilled his obligation. He doesn't become chayiv again. So can he read the Megillah for a walled city dweller? So the Yushalmi says no, because he's not obligated. So here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that if the person's not Jewish and he's totally not subject to the obligation, I understand. If the person is a minor where their level of obligation is not the same as the adult's obligation, I understand. But the chiddush here is, even though both people share the obligation of Kriyas Megillah, but since your obligation, say, is on the 15th, and my obligation, say, is on the 14th, we're considered subject to two completely different obligations, and therefore one can't exempt the other, because you need a 15th Megillah reading. I'm not obligated in that mitzvah. It's as if it's two separate mitzvahs. I'm not obligated in that mitzvah, so I'm not subject to the obligation. I can't read the Megillah for you on the 15th. I have an obligation for the 14th, so you can't read the Megillah for me on the 14th, because you're not subject to that obligation. So says Tosfos, that's what it says in the Yishalmi. So Tosfos says, seemingly the same thing should apply for the city dweller, for the villager. How could Rashi say that when the villagers come into the city, they're on the 11th or on the 12th or on the 13th, Rashi says they don't know how to read the Megillah themselves? So somebody from the city who's not obligated until the 14th, he can't fulfill his obligation on the 13th, the 12th, or the 11th. So how could Rashi say that a person living in the city who's obligated on the 14th, how would he be able to be moitzi someone who's hearing the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or the 13th? This is a major question. So because of this question, Tosfos says, we'll get to you one second, Toby, I'll be one second. So because of this question, so says Tosfos, that they're reading in their own kfar. You can't say like Rashi that they don't know how to read and they're going to have to come on to the city dweller, because the city dweller is not authorized to be moitzi the kfar. It has to be they're reading in their own city. Now, this would be what the Rambam says also. Rambam completely duplicates the Tosfos. Rambam is exactly the same as the Tosfos, that they're reading in their own city. Okay, Toby, what do you say, Toby?
Isn't the whole thing that you can be motzi someone if the other person makes the bracha? Are you saying that it's different by Kriyas Megillah? That in order to be motzi the person, I, as the Baal Kriya, I also have to make the bracha over the Megillah?
So that's a good point, Toby. So the who makes the bracha is so sometimes you read the Megillah for the a woman makes the bracha. Who makes the bracha is one issue, But this is a series, this is the criteria. In order for you to be moitzi someone else, you have to be a bar chiyuva. You have to be subject to that obligation. That's arvus. Arvus, you don't have to, you don't need to be using that kriya for your own fulfillment. You might have heard it already, or you might plan on reading it later. You don't have to be using that particular kriya to fulfill your obligation, but you need to be obligated, you need to be subject to that mitzvah. Then your kriya counts as a kriya. But for example, a katan who's not obligated to the same extent as an adult, he's not considered obligated to the extent that his kriya will count as a kriya vis-a-vis the adult. Or a non-Jew for sure. A non-Jew, he might be the best shofar blower in the world, but he's not subject to the obligation, so he can't be moitzi because his kriya or his tekiya is not the tekiya of a bar chiyuva. So the chiddush of the Yushalmi is that we look at the 14th and the 15th as two separate, completely separate obligations. And the one who lives in the walled city, he's zero obligated in the 14th kriya. He can't, he's not a bar chiyuva. If he's standing on the 14th, he's not obligated. And therefore he can't be moitzi somebody who's obligated on the 14th. And vice versa, someone from the 14th, he's not obligated in the 15th kriya. And therefore he cannot be moitzi somebody on the 15th. So the question is, and this turns into a question against the Rashi, how could Rashi possibly say that the villagers are entering the cities on the convenient Monday and Thursday that precedes Purim? They're entering the city and they're going to hear the Megillah from a city dweller on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. The city dweller is not obligated until the 14th, and he would not even be able to fulfill his obligation on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. So he's not a bar chiyuva, he's not subject to that obligation. How can he be a reader for the people in the villages? Because of this question, Tosfos and the Rambam argue on Rashi and say that's not what's happening at all. In other words, they agree to the question, they accept the premise of the question, and they argue and say that the Kfarim are reading it themselves in their own villages. And the convenience for the Kfarim was a totally different matter, that they don't have to gather a minyan on Purim. They can rely on the minyan that they have for the Mondays and Thursdays, where they anyway schedule a minyan for the Torah reading. That's what's going on over here between Rashi and the Tosfos. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the Mishnayos, he brings this question from the Tosfos and from the Rishonim, and Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to say a chiddush, that maybe what Rashi means is that when the villagers come into the city and they hear the Megillah, they're going to have to recite the Megillah along with the reader, word for word, right? The reader is not being moitzi them. The reader is just prompting them because they don't know how to read themselves. So they'll have to repeat word, like the reader will get up and say, repeat after me. And all the villagers are going to repeat word for word what the Baal Kairi is reading, because the Baal Kairi can't be moitzi the Kfarim. He's not a Bar Chiyuva in the Kfarim's Chiyuv. The obvious difficulty with Rav Kiveger's suggestion is that they don't have a Megillah in front of them. So if you're prompting me to read and I'm reading along word for word, I'm not going to, it's as if I'm reading it by heart, because I don't have a kosher Megillah in front of me. I'm a villager. I don't even know how to read the Megillah. Why would I have a kosher Megillah? So how does it help to prompt the villagers to repeat after me? They don't have a kosher Megillah in front of them. So by the way, this is an important halacha, that when you go to shul on Purim and you're listening to the Baal Kairi who's reading the Megillah from a kosher klaf, so if you're following along in a chumash, you have to be careful to make sure you're hearing the Megillah reading from the Baal Kairi, because if you're going to be reading along and start like trailing off and reading yourself in the chumash, it'll have the status of reading by heart because you're not reading from a klaf. The purpose of following along carefully in the chumash is that if you miss a word from the Baal Kairi, you can quickly make it up yourself. Granted, that word is by heart, but as long as the majority of the Megillah was heard from the kriya, from the klaf, you can fill in the gaps by heart. So that's why it pays to follow along. If you have your own kosher Megillah and you're proficient, so then you can read along with the Baal Kairi. But if not, it's better to listen to the Baal Kairi and just use the chumash or your Megillah to fill in the gaps. So the obvious difficulty with Rav Eger's suggestion of having the villagers read along with the Baal Kore from the klaf is that since they don't have their own klaf, that would be considered reading Baal Peh. Now the Hagois of the Baruch Tam on the Shagas Aryan Turi Evan, see, he actually says perhaps what they each have their own Megillah, or maybe they're sharing common Megillahs, and they're actually reading along with the Baal Kore. So that's how Reb Kiveger and the Hagois Baruch Tam deal with this difficulty, that they have to read along. It's a forced explanation because it doesn't sound like that from Rashi. Now, the Ritva, one of the Rishonim, it's interesting, actually asks this question on Rashi, and the Ritva says a very interesting answer. The Ritva says that you can't compare Rashi to what it says in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that says that the 15th and the 14th are completely different mitzvahs, so therefore they don't overlap, and therefore one can't be moitzi the other because they're completely two different mitzvahs. That's the primary obligation of the 14th and the 15th. If you live in an unwalled city, your obligation is the 14th. If you live in a walled city, your obligation is the 15th. The two chiyuvim are two separate obligations and they don't overlap. But says the Ritva, the people living in the village, they primarily are obligated on the 14th. And for example, what if the villager decides not to avail himself of this convenience and he reads the Megillah on the 14th? Of course he'd be Yotzi. That's the primary obligation. The convenience that the Chachamim granted the villagers because they supply the city with supplies, with groceries, the convenience that we give the villagers that they're allowed to read the Megillah on the Yud Aleph, the Yud Beis, the Yud Gimel, it's sort of a tashlumin. It's sort of a makeup. It's a leniency that you can fulfill your obligation of the 14th early. So says the Ritva that the ability to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or 13th is sort of, it's a leniency that's how you'll fulfill your obligation of the 14th. We're not creating a brand new Purim for you. As a matter of fact, the people living in the village, they observe Purim on the 14th. They don't observe, they don't have the Suda, they don't do Shalach Manis on the 11th. They're observing Purim on the 14th. The primary obligation remains on the 14th. They can certainly fulfill their obligation on the 14th. It's a leniency to preempt and to read the Megillah early. So says the Ritva that this ability to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or 13th is a subset, it's a subcategory of the obligation of the 14th. So when you're talking about the people living in the walled cities versus the people living in the unwalled cities, it's two completely separate obligations. One is not a subset of the other. That's why the Yerushalmi says one cannot be moitzi the other. The two obligations are as if they're two different obligations, apples and oranges. But the obligation or the ability to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or 13th is not a completely different mitzvah. It's a subcategory, a subset of the obligation of the 14th. And the biggest proof is because they observe Purim on the 14th. Even if you're hearing the Megillah on the 11th, if you're living in a village, you would still have your feast, you would still have your Purim Suda on the 14th. We're not changing, we're not creating a new Purim for you, we're simply giving you the ability to fulfill your obligation early. The Ritva, in order to explain this a little bit more, he explains because even a city dweller, if his city would be reduced down to a kfar, he loses the kolel, he loses the 10 men that are there dedicated to create the constant minyan, so then they would also have the ability to read on the 14th. So people living in the city on the 11th, so people living in the city, those people share a common denominator with the ability to read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So we have a fundamental machlekes between Rashi and the Tosfos. Rashi holds that the ability to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th is a subcategory, it's a subset of the primary obligation of the 14th. It's like it's bottle, it's subordinate to the obligation of the 14th, and therefore someone who's obligated in the primary obligation could read the Megillah for someone in the 11th. However, Tosfos and the Rambam look at it that it becomes completely different obligations. And just like a 14er can't read the Megillah for a 15er, so too a 14er would not be able to read the Megillah for an 11er or a 12er or a 13er. Okay. We see from Rashi a very interesting thing. We see from Rashi that even though the fulfillment is different. If you share the obligation, one could be moitzi the other. Like we've kept on saying, the 14th and the 15th are completely different obligations, but the 14er could be moitzi the 11er because they share the same obligation, even though the way they fulfill the mitzvah is different. There's a fascinating halacha when it comes to the Megillah. I never saw this in practice, but the Mishnah says and the Gemara says that you could actually write a Megillah in English. It doesn't have to be in Lashon Kodesh. It can be in English, and it has the status of a Megillah, and you can use that Megillah to be moitzi someone who understands English. So you wouldn't be able to write a Megillah in Spanish and read it to someone who doesn't understand Spanish. You have to understand the foreign language in order for that Megillah reading to be meaningful for you. Unlike Hebrew, Hebrew has the advantage that even if you don't understand the Hebrew at all, you can be yotze listening to the Hebrew Kriya. But if you write the Megillah in a foreign language, the Megillah can be used for someone who understands that language. It's very interesting. You're not allowed to, you wouldn't be allowed to read the Megillah, a Hebrew written Megillah, and paraphrase it and translate it into English for someone who doesn't understand the Hebrew, because that would be like reading by heart. You're not reading the words, you're looking at the words and then you're translating it into another language. But if the Megillah is written in a foreign language, you can read that foreign language for the person who understands that language. Now, the Ramban has a chiddush that the only time you can read an English written Megillah for someone who speaks English is only if that listener does not understand Hebrew. But if he understands Hebrew, then he's not allowed to use this exemption, this leniency, and he has to be yotze with a Hebrew written Megillah. So let's just summarize. If you're reading a Megillah that's written in a foreign language, you're allowed to read that Megillah for someone who understands that foreign language. That's for sure. If the person does not understand the foreign language, he would not be able to be yotze with that kriya. Unlike Hebrew, that you can be yotze even if you don't understand it. Don't worry, you don't have to understand the Hebrew reading. You can be yotze with the Hebrew reading. But if it's being read for you in English, then you better understand the English. If it's being read to you in Spanish, you better understand the Spanish. Says the Ramban, there's another caveat, there's another condition. The only time you can be yotze with the Kriyas Megillah that's being read to you in your language is if you don't understand Hebrew. Then we give you the heter for Pesumi Nisa to at least understand what you're being read. But if you understand Hebrew, then you have to hear the Megillah reading in the primary source. So if we understand the Hebrew, or we generally understand the Hebrew, most of us understand the Hebrew, we understand what's going on in the Megillah, so we would not be allowed to hear the Megillah from an English written Megillah, because we basically more or less understand what's going on in the Hebrew version, and therefore we have to hear it from the original source. The Ramban has a raya to this, because the Yerushalmi says that someone who understands Hebrew, if the Baal Koireh understands Hebrew, he cannot read an English Megillah for someone who understands English. And the Yerushalmi says because the reader, since he understands Hebrew, he would not be allowed to be yotze with the English Kriya because he understands Hebrew. So he would not be able to use this Kriya for his own obligation. Therefore, he cannot be moitzi someone who wants to hear it in English, right? So it's fascinating. So that means that in order to read an English Megillah for someone who hears English, the reader himself can't understand Hebrew. Because if the reader understands Hebrew and he would not be able to use this Kriya for himself, he's not considered a bar chiyuva. He's not considered subject to the obligation, even though he is obligated in the Megillah. But since he can't fulfill his own personal obligation with this Kriya, because he's reading the Megillah in English Megillah and he understands Hebrew, he would not be allowed to use this Kriya for himself. Therefore, he's not considered a Bar Chayuba and he can't be Motzi someone else. This Yerushalmi would seem to be in contrast to what the Ritva just said. Because the Ritva said, even if you don't share the fulfillment, even if you're not fulfilling the Megillah in a way that your friend could fulfill it, but since you share the obligation, it's good enough. The 14, the city dweller, could read it for the villager because they both share a common obligation, even though the fulfillment is different. The Yerushalmi would seem to disagree with that because the Yerushalmi says that if you yourself understand Hebrew and you would not be able to use this for your personal fulfillment, therefore you cannot be moitzi someone else who would be able to use this for his fulfillment. That means that it's not enough to share the same obligation. You have to share the same way of fulfillment. That's the kasha from the Yerushalmi. The Stipler asks this kasha. And the Stipler struggles. The Stipler wants to try to salvage. He wants to try to defend Rashi. So the Stipler says that we have to make the following distinction. That the one who understands Hebrew, he would never be able to use this fulfillment. He's mufka. He's removed from this fulfillment. He can never use this fulfillment. But the city dweller, even though right now, currently, he would not be able to use this fulfillment of the 11th day Kriya, but since if he would move to a village, or if his city would be reduced to a village, then he would be able to. So therefore, he has sufficient commonality with the villager, and therefore he would be able to exempt the village. So it's fascinating, the ins and outs of how we share obligation. Okay, just to conclude, the Gemara says in Megillah that this leniency to read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th only applied back then when the Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh and sent Shluchim. The Beis Din took responsibility to inform people when Pesach is going to be. But nowadays, when people are in Gullus and everything is chaotic, so if the Megillah would be read on the 11th, people might start counting 30 days from the 11th, and they might observe Pesach at the wrong time. So we abolish this halacha, and we no longer allow villagers to read on the 11th. Just to make sure, just that we shouldn't think that the whole conversation of 11th, 12th, and 13th is a moot discussion. So the halacha brings in Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Peches that there is a far-fetched scenario where someone could avail themselves of the 11th, 12th, or 13th. If a person is going in a derech rechaika, he's going on a ship, or he's going to travel, and he's afraid on Purim, he's not going to have someone to read for him, he would be allowed to fulfill his obligation on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So here's like a far-fetched example where you could still avail yourself of these extra days that the Chachamim designated for a secondary fulfillment of the Megillah. Okay, Yasher Koyach, everybody. So this is a Geshmaka Sugya. So we'll try again next week to speak more about the Inyanim of Megillah and Purim and to get ourselves ready. Yasher Koyach, everybody.